Well, good morning. I do appreciate the invitation to be here and preach, and thankful for the church for all the preparations that go into hosting the conference and all the work you've done to have this here and have us be able to have this opportunity to come together. I really wish that the Lord would interrupt right in the middle of preaching. I've been literally praying today that he would just say, sit down and shut up. I'm going to talk. And that the Lord Jesus would preach to you today. That's what I would have. That he would just say, sit down and shut up. And I'm going to preach to the people today. That's what I would have. I would have him interrupt all the preachers coming up to sing Amazing Grace. That'd be a blessing. But I would a lot rather have Jesus interrupt that and say, no, just listen to me. Just listen to me. I'm going to work in your hearts today. I'm going to bless you today. I am going to make myself known as your greatest need today. You are going to see me today. How will we muster seeing Jesus in that way? How are you going to muster that up? How we can come together, we can gather together, and we can make an attempt. But we need Jesus to come with power today. We need Jesus to manifest himself with power today. Oh, how I have been praying and desiring that he would come and manifest himself with power. That he would save. Oh, I want to see Jesus save souls. When's the last time, preachers, you've seen the Lord save someone in the services, in under the preaching of the word? I want to see Jesus save. I want to see services like that, where things are interrupted and people are, the Lord saved me. And I want to see that. I'd rather have Jesus do that than, you know, I enjoy all the blessings of this, but I'd much rather have Jesus come and meet with us today. And we say, Jesus is in the midst, right? He promises to be in the midst. But you know, there's also over there in Revelation, where he says there are churches that he's not in, that they don't even hear him anymore, that he's outside the door. I want him to kick down the door today. I want him to kick down the door today, and I want him to come in today, and I want him to get a hold of us all today. That's what what are we doing today? We want to hear from Jesus today. We want him to work on us today. We don't want to just come together with forms and ceremonies and traditions and all those things. We want Jesus to meet with us today and work on us today. This is what we need. This is what we need. We need a powerful manifestation of Christ today. This is what we need. What, do you want anything less than that today? Did you come for anything less than that today? Then you did not come for the right reason. Why did you come today? Why did I come today? What have you been begging God for today? Have you been pleading with God to work in your soul today? Have you been pleading with him to save your children today? Have you been pleading with him to rescue your life from this world today? What have you been doing? Do you care? Has the world so infected us and infested us that Jesus is not our greatest need? That we do not see him? Can you see him? The things that Brother Dan is preaching about, the Lord's been working into me and granting me repentance of. Listen, I've been so caught up in self, caught up in the world, caught up in the distractions and the entertainments. And it just kills me. And I know it kills you too. I know this world is killing you. I know this world is stealing away your fellowship with Christ. That relationship with Christ, that abiding in Christ. How can you abide with Christ if you're always in the world? How can you? How can you? I got notes. I almost want to just... But I will try. I will try. I'll preach as the Lord leads. Matthew chapter 1. Brother Dan turned to these last night. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Oh, I've named some of you today in prayer that the Lord would save you. And in general, I've prayed for the lost today. And in general, I prayed for the churches today. And I've been praying for the churches today that the Lord would work. That's what I want. I want Him to work. I want him to show Himself mighty to save. I want Him to work. Lord Jesus, I want You to work. I want Him to work today. Oh, this is His name. Matthew 1:21. We heard that. This is His name. This is who He is. Lord Jesus, show Yourself that way to us today. This is who You are. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall. I want to see that today.
Amen.
He shall save his people from their sins.
Yeah,
that is our greatest need.
Amen.
We need to be saved from our sins in every way, shape, and form. The lost need to be saved from their sins. You need to be rescued from that condition, that darkness, that depravity, that condemnation, that alienation from God. You need to be saved from your sins. You that are God's people need to be saved from this world today.
Amen.
You need to be saved from this world today. You need to be rescued. I need to be rescued. We need the Lord to get a hold of us and pull us out of this world.
Amen.
We need Him to save. Manifest that power of salvation in all of our lives today. This is what we need.
Amen.
Does not the Bible declare from beginning to end that sin is our great problem? Sin is our great problem. Therefore, Jesus Christ is our great need.
Amen.
We have to have Him or we die. We will die in every way. We will die in every way. Was that not what God said? If you eat the fruit, you'll die. If you eat the fruit, you'll die. In every way, you'll die. You'll die. In every way. We'll die away from God.
Yeah.
Die away from God. In every way. And so we need Jesus in every way to save us from our sins. In every way to bring us back to God. In every way. Oh, how we need to see Jesus. It's our greatest need of salvation from sin. Our greatest need of salvation from sin. The only hope. You don't have any other hope.
That's right.
There is nothing else for you. There's nothing else. He is our only hope today. Jesus Christ is our only hope of salvation from sin. If you're lost today, religion won't do it. Tradition won't do it. Family relation won't do it. Mom and dad goes to this church. Mom and dad goes to that church. Grandpa went to, that won't save you. Jesus Christ, Him, He's your only hope. There's no other name. We heard that, didn't we? There's salvation in none other. None other but Jesus Christ. He shall save His people from their sins. I pray that He'll come today. That He'll save His people from their sins. That's what He does. That's who He is. Over there in 1 Timothy, it tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief, even the worst of them, right? That's you and I. He came into the world to save sinners. This is what He does. Listen, are you lost today? You need Jesus. You need to see Him. You need to see Him. You need to see Him. He is your greatest need. You think, I've got all this going on. I've got all that going on. All of those things are a result of sin. He shall save His people from their sins. Obviously, we know that the thing that sin has brought into the world is death. I mean, that is the consequence. I mean, it is spiritual death. It is alienation from God. It is physical death. It is eternal death. Death. Sin has brought death into the world. We need to be rescued from sin. The biggest problem with all of those things is that sin has separated us from God. You see, we've been alienated from God. Sin has alienated us from God. We need reconciliation. So the first thing then, the first specific point I'll try to make is that we need to be reconciled to God. We need reconciliation to God. Let's turn to Genesis 3 just for a minute. Genesis 3 and verse 17. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. All of the problems in this world are our fault. They're our fault. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Why you got all the problems in your life? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. It's your sin that's causing all the problems in your life. Right. Stop blaming people around you. Amen. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming your coworkers, your boss. Stop blaming God. Amen. Your sins are causing your problems.
That's right.
You need to be saved from your sins. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Can you see that? Can you understand that? Can you get a hold of that? It's your fault. It's my fault. The problems in my life are my fault. It's my sin. Cursed is the ground. For thy sake. For thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Oh, I'll be happy with this. I'll be happy with that. No, you won't. No, you won't. Sorrow. Sorrow. Sin brings sorrow. Thorns also and thistles. I've got all these issues and problems. Sin. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it hast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What's the dust going to do for itself? How's the dust going to save itself? Oh, we need Jesus.
Amen.
And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And there's another very important thing. There is Christ. There is the first demonstration of Christ we find. Here is the innocent sacrifice. Here is the clothing of God. Here is the innocent bloodshed. Here is the clothing of God being put upon them. You need this covering of God. And Jesus Christ is the only covering that is sufficient. The blood of Christ is the only thing that can make you acceptable in the sight of God. And the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man. Here we are. Driven out from the presence of God. Driven out from the life. Driven out. So he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There was a problem there. We are separated from God by sin. And there is the first problem of man. Sin has separated us from God. We need to be reconciled to God. My greatest problem then is that sin has separated me from God in an eternally irreparable way. I can't fix it. You can't fix it. Only Jesus can fix it. He's the only one that can reconcile you to God. He's the only one that can repair your broken life. The only one that can give you life from the dead. The only one that can cleanse you from sin. The only one. Only Jesus Christ. There's no way for me to reconcile myself to God. Without Jesus Christ, I am utterly without hope of ever being reconciled to God. Listen. Utterly without hope. You can't reconcile yourself. What can you do? What can you do to take away your sin? The only thing that can take away your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Only by the blood of Christ can you be made acceptable to God. Only by the blood of Christ, only by His death for you in the cross. Only by that the death of Christ can you be brought back to God. There is no other way. There is no other one. This is our great need. Reconciliation to God. Salvation from sin. My greatest need, therefore, is to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. In order for this to happen, my sin crimes against God must be dealt with. And through His willing death upon the cross, Jesus meets my greatest need. And through faith in Him, I can be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what the gospel is all about. It's a call to be reconciled to God. How can it be so? How can I be reconciled? How can I, one that am guilty of sin, crimes against God? How can God, who is just and holy and good, how can He forgive my sins? How can He just say, well, that's, you're forgiven? How? There must be a means. There must be a way. There must be legal justification.
Right.
How can God be just and the justifier? Right? How can God be a just judge and let the guilty go free? Only through Jesus Christ. Jesus had to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. There's no other way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's the only way. Throughout the Bible, it's teaching us this. It's showing us this. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. We were singing the song. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. You can't clean up your life and say, well, that's no. That, no. What can that do? That can't take away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so through all the whole Bible, we're presented with the problem of sin. This is we need to be saved from sin. That throughout the Bible we're presented with, and we're shown the Savior. Oh, and this is another scripture that I had listed along here, but John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. Oh, the whole Bible is telling us that Jesus Christ is your only hope. Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way of salvation. All throughout the Bible, sin is the problem. Jesus Christ is the only way. All throughout the Bible. That is the testimony. All throughout the Bible. Jesus Christ is the only way. The Scriptures testify to us of Christ. And they say to you, turn away from sin. Turn away from self-righteousness. Turn away from all tradition and religious attempt. Turn away from all of that. And turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Look to Christ. He's God's way of salvation. He's the only means that you can be forgiven. The only way that you can be reconciled to God. No other way. 2 Corinthians 5. I wish the Lord would come right now and just stop me. And the people would just be saved. So I've been reading Psalm 38. Psalm 38 talks about this God just crushing, basically, the psalmist. His hand was heavy upon his sword, upon him. The arrows of God were stuck fast in him. Mm-hmm. Oh, how I wish that He would just put His hand upon us. Yeah. Crush our hearts, break our bones, bring us to repentance. Yeah. That's what I'd have. And I can't muster that, but all I can do is beg God. Beg God. And you need to beg God that He would do that for you. Oh. It's not all about amens, and it's not all about feeling good. It's about God working on us, getting a hold of us. We need Him to do that. Lord, oh, we need Him to do that. 2 Corinthians 5. If you're lost today, there's nothing else that matters for you. Live your life and go to hell without Jesus. If you're living life without Jesus Christ, that's where you're headed. That's where you're going. That's where your life is going to end up. What good is that life? What point is that life? Your greatest need is Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. You say, well, I want to get married to this one or that one. Doesn't matter. You say, I want to go to this college or that college.
I want to have this job. I want to have that job. I want to have this life. I want to have that life. So what if in the end you die and you go to hell? What does it matter without Jesus Christ? What does it matter?
Amen.
Life without Christ is pointless. It's meaningless. It's useless. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. Do we hear? Do we hear? Do we hear? Does it go in? Does it ever 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 go like an arrow into your heart? Does it ever feel like broken bones? Festering sores. Read Psalm 38.
Yes.
Does it feel like God is heavy upon you and you can't live without this anymore? What does it matter if you live a life and have everything in this world and you don't have Jesus Christ? What does it matter? What does it matter? In the end, it's just loss, and vanity, and regret forever. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, listen. Whew. Listen, lost person. That's the best day ever. That's the best day ever. The day that the Lord saves you. Oh, out of the miserable condition of sin. That's the best day ever. When he makes you a new creature. Makes you a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new life in Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ is an accessory to my old life. A new life in Jesus Christ. All things are new. Oh, all things are new. You need a new life. Trade the old one in.
Amen.
Trade the old one in. Say, Lord, I don't want it anymore. I don't want this old life of sin anymore. I don't want this misery and suffering and sadness. I don't want it anymore. I don't want this pointless life anymore. I want Christ. I want the life and the salvation that's in Christ. I want Christ. Oh, there it is.
Amen.
There it is. Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Can we comprehend?
No.
Can you comprehend the glory of that? Whew. A new creature in Christ. Verse 18, and all things are of God. See, this teaches us we are dependent upon God. All things are of God. I need him today to preach to you. My greatest need as a preacher is Jesus. I can't preach to you without Jesus. My preaching is vanity. If Christ does not use it, if he does not talk to you today, if he does not call his sheep. I heard about that. Shepherd. You need to hear him calling you by name. You need him to call you by name. His disciples. Calling his disciples. Come follow me. That's what you need today. You need to hear Jesus Christ calling you. You need him to personally be dealing with you today. He uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But he doesn't. He can use whatever preacher he wants, whatever means he wants. He can use the word and how he wants to distribute it. But it's him that we need. It's him that we need to be speaking to us and working on us and moving amongst us. Without him, everything we do is vanity. Everything we do is just religion. It's just tradition. It's empty. Oh. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You know, that's a description of doing things without love for God, you know, without love. But really, that's what we are. We're just empty noise without Jesus Christ. We've got to have him in our worship. We've got to have him in our preaching. But all things are of God. In verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see that reconciliation is the issue? You need to be reconciled to God. Do you see that that's the issue? It isn't just all your problems. Those are a result of sin. It isn't even death is the first problem. That's not our first problem. Our problem is that we have been broken off from God. We have been separated from God. That is our first problem. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. You're broken away from God. You're broken off from God. You need to be reconciled to God. And these things are of God who hath, all these things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. This Amen. Is how.
Amen.
This is how God's people are reconciled to him. That's how he reconciled them to himself. God, in the person of Christ, came and lives a perfect sinless life for us, securing perfect righteousness for us. And then he went to the cross and died and suffered perfectly, completely, absolutely for all of our sins. Not only did he endure the cross, the physical things of the cross, but that was just superficial. The wrath of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God was poured out upon Christ. Mm-hmm. Because of you.
Right.
Because of me.
Right.
Because of my sin. And because Jesus suffered for my sin, because he suffered justly for what I deserved, I can be reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
Because he suffered for your sins, you can be reconciled.
Amen.
You see? Only through Christ can you be reconciled. That's your greatest need today, if you're lost.
Amen.
Reconciliation to God. Reconciliation to God. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or not charging their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Should that not then be the pointed message of our preaching, that people need to be reconciled to God? That is your greatest need. You are alienated from God. You are estranged from God. You are cast away from God. You need to be reconciled to God. Your sins have separated you from God. Jesus Christ is the means by which we can be reconciled. He is the way. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we speak in Christ's stead. We speak for him. We're literally, preachers, we're literally speaking for Christ. Do we realize that? Do we understand that? We're pleading with people on the behalf of Christ. We're representing and representing Jesus Christ. And we're saying that we're trying to communicate to people the worth of Christ and the worth of Christ life and the worth of Christ's person and the worth of Christ's death. And we are trying to do that. But only by God's help can we even begin to communicate the glory of Christ. Can we even begin to scratch the surface of that? But that's what we're called to do. To represent Christ. To call people. To say it is your responsibility to come to Jesus Christ. Don't sit there and die. God's Son came and died for you. Come to Christ. Be reconciled. We're not telling people to sit there and die. We are charging people with their responsibility to come to Christ. That's what preachers are doing. What are we doing? We're not just up here teaching. Although there is teaching. We're urging people to move toward Christ, to turn from sin, to be reconciled to God. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. Wow. And hath committed unto us the word. Wow. Do we get a hold of that, preachers? Do you get a hold of that? Do I get a hold of that? He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now I realize
Paul being an apostle. Yeah, oh, that's Paul. Who is here now? Right? Pastors, teachers, evangelists, all those things are left, right? Who is it committed to? The church, right? Teachers, preachers, pastors. The word of reconciliation is committed unto us. Wow. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Look at that. Do you think we ought to preach, preachers? Do you think we ought to plead, preachers? Do you think we ought to pray, preachers? Do you think we ought to be pleading with God to use us? Do you think you can beseech people in God's stead without God's help? Oh. As though God did beseech you by us. Wow. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. And that's what I desire to do today. Don't just sit there and think, that guy is, man, he's a little bit, whew, today. Oh no. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm urging you. I'm urging you, lost church member. I'm trying to take your cloak away, lost church member. I want you to just say, I'm in filthy rags. I'm in filthy rags of my own righteousness. I'm in the putrefying, unacceptable clothing of self. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I want you to see that. I want you to smell the stench. Yep. I want you to see the condition. And I want you to cry out for Christ. Amen. I know some of you that have been raised in church, and I know that you're lost. I don't know who you are. But I know that I know that there are some here. And you've made a profession when you were young. Maybe you made two or three. And you've been through the waters of baptism. But do you have Christ?
Amen.
Do you have Christ? Do you have salvation? I'm beseeching you today. You need Christ. And you that are openly lost, I hope that you openly confess that you need Christ. Don't lie to yourself. There's all kinds of ways we can lie to ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Your heart is desperate to lie to you in so many ways. Don't listen to your heart. Listen to the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction. But be reconciled to God. That's what you need. That's what you need. We then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see that? You see that? That's laid it to your charge. Be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. God has done everything necessary. Do you believe him? Can you see that Christ has died for you? Be ye reconciled to God. That's how. That's how you can be reconciled. That's how you can be saved. For he hath made him to be sin for us.
Amen.
This goes back to Leviticus, the scapegoat, I believe. And I've always thought that just too much. When you see the picture of the priest laying his hands upon the head of the goat and confessing all of the sins of all of God's people under the head of the goat. And I see Christ. And I see all of my sins being laid upon. And then I think about my sins and I think, oh, it just makes me squirm to think of my sins laid upon Christ. Although, can you think about your sins? The horror, the filth of them, the pollution. Ah. Laid upon the spotless Lamb of God. Laid upon his head. And I think about my sins touching Christ. My sin. Do you realize your sins were upon him? It says he became sin for us, right? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's not even just the righteousness of innocence that Adam had.
It's the righteousness of God in him. It's the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ that is imputed to you, that is charged to you, that is counted to you, that is yours. But you see what the cost was. It's not cheap. Oh, the cost. The cost was that not only did Christ die, but he bore your sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin. You see him in the garden. Let this cup pass from me. Oh, that the sin being laid upon Christ. Your sin being laid upon Christ. Let this cup pass from me. The wrath of God about to be bore for my sin.
Yes.
I don't know. We could. I don't know. It says that he was heard in Hebrews and that he feared. I don't know. What was he praying for in the garden exactly? I don't know. But I do know. He wasn't trying to escape the cross.
That's right.
He was not.
I do know that he understood, and that's where he was headed. But I do know that he felt the weight. He felt the pollution of my sin. He felt that. He had to bear that. And he was anticipating the wrath of God upon himself. And that in that situation in the garden was so intense that he sweat great drops of blood. And this is part of the things that he bore. And as he was carrying my sin, and as he was going to the cross. And there was no other way for me to be saved. There's no other way. He had to take your sins. He had to suffer for your sins. And here's another thing that sometimes we, in your mind, you have this thing that you do. You know that he's 100% God. You know he's 100% man. But in your mind, you have a hard time putting that together. And so sometimes you think, well, he did that because he was God. Well, it's true, he was God. But you know that he lived and died as man for man.
Right, right.
He lived for us, you know, dependent upon the Father. He was a man of prayer. We see that he suffered and he subjected himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, so we need to understand that, yes, he is God. But listen, as he secured your salvation, he did that as man. He did that as the Son of Man. He suffered. He suffered for you. He was your representative in every way. And by being God in the flesh, by no means did he escape any bit of the wrath of God, the punishment of God, the suffering, right? That we deserve. So he didn't escape any of it. He didn't try to escape any of it. He bore it. He felt it in every way. He drank the cup all down. Right? There's not, you couldn't turn it over and say he left just a little bit. No, he took it all. He took it all for you. He took it all. So that's how you can be reconciled to God. That's our first greatest need. And I have no idea. Well, we're getting real close, aren't we? The next thing then, which a lot of times we think is the great need, is restoration to life. Yeah, we're dying. But sin's the reason, and we're separated from God, is our great need. Reconciliation. But death is the consequence. There is a consequence. And how can we live for God? How can we enjoy, you know, this salvation if we don't have life? We need life. We do need to be. So our second greatest need is to be saved from death. We need to be saved from death. Romans chapter 6. So number 2 is restoration to life. Number 1 was reconciliation to God. Number 2, restoration to life. Romans 6 and 23, of course. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. So here's our here's this ongoing problem. Sin has, first of all, separated man from God. That's the first thing you notice what happened with Adam and Eve. They hid themselves from God. They realized, they knew that they were naked. They hid themselves from God. The first thing that happened was estrangement from God. The next thing that God came and said, because of this, death. Death. And so death then is the next thing, that our next problem that we need to be. We need Jesus to rescue us from. But the wages of sin is death. And we'll just go ahead and read right on through the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that is, there it is. We've earned death. Every one of us. We were all sinners by nature. And we all sin by choice. And we've all earned death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so many think death is our greatest problem, but death is secondary to sin. Death is the sinner's due reward. Nevertheless, after reconciliation to God, to be saved from death and to be restored to life with God is my next greatest need. For if I do not have life, how can I be reconciled to God and enjoy that state of reconciliation? You know, we could have been spared from the consequence of hell through the death of Christ alone. You know, sin alone could have been taken care of, and we wouldn't have to suffer forever. You know, just be done with us. But we need to live. God created us to for His glory, to live for Him. You know, to know Him and to reciprocate the knowledge of His glory. You know, we're made with that capacity. We're fitted with that. So we need to live. To receive this salvation and then to manifest that glory of God's salvation in our lives, to live for Him. So we need to be saved from death. But Isaiah, let's turn there just for a minute. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. It says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee." Look at there. See, God saves us, raises us to life so that we can live for Him, that we can be vessels of the glory of His salvation through Christ. "But for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth." Look at this life then, this life of Christ that's given. He came to give us life and life abundantly. There's a life lived for God then. A life rescued from sin and then a life lived for God, you see. He died for us so that we could live for Him. That's what life's all about. So that we can live for Him. So I need to be saved from death, not just to be saved from death, but to live for Him. To live for Christ, you see. So this is our next greatest need. I need to be saved from death so I can live for Him. We were supposed, that was, man was created to live for God, to glorify God, to be the image bearer of God. Sin ruined that created purpose. But it has been gloriously and abundantly and more than ever was restored through Christ. We can live for God. We can give God the glory with our life through Christ. Through Christ. Only through Christ. Only through Christ. But we need to be rescued from death to live for Him. Talked about there, the living, in verse 19 of Isaiah 38. The living, He shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known truth. Oh, fathers, you weren't just saved to be saved. You're saved to live for God and to teach your children about God. To teach your children God's truth. To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, fathers, are you supposed to make known to your children the world? Are you supposed to make known to your children your hobbies and interests and entertainments and distractions and worldliness? Don't we teach you how much? Compare the two. How much time are we teaching them about the world, and how much time are we teaching about Jesus? Oh, you were, listen, oh, you're a saved man. You're a saved woman. What are you doing? Are you living? Are you living for Christ? Are you living for this world? Here again, I'm coming back to it. I can't help come back to it. This world is killing us. It's killing God's people spiritually. It's killing God's churches spiritually. The world is killing us. We need to be rescued from that condition. We need to repent of that condition. We need to repent of that condition. And we need to come back to living for Christ. Oh, how do you do that? You got to get rid of the stuff. You got to clean out your life. You got to beg God to help you. You need to see Jesus, Brother Dan preached, as your greatest need. You don't need your entertainments. You don't need your TV shows. You don't need your video games. You don't need your internet. You don't need your Facebook. But you act like you do. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. You don't need it. You don't. I don't need it. But I do need Jesus. I do need Him. All of us as God's people need Him. We could think about John 15. You can comprehend how much you need Jesus by what you can do without Him. For without me, ye can do nothing. Do you think we need Him? Guys, people need Him. We need Him. So we need Him to save us from death, not just to be saved. A lot of people think, well, I'm saved. Okay, yay. I can live what I want to do. Live the way I want to live and go the way I want. No. You were saved for Him. You were saved to live for Him. You were saved to live for Jesus Christ. So we need to be saved from death so that we can live for Christ. Let's go back there. I wasn't going to read that, but 2 Corinthians. Let's go back there. 2 Corinthians in 5. Look at this. Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Can you say that today? Are you being constrained by the love of Christ to live for Christ? Look at, examine your life and say, does the love of Christ constrain me, or do I take it lightly? Am I negligent of His love? Is it moving me to repent of my addiction to this world? My love of this world, right? It tells us over there in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? Will we repent of that? Will we confess it? What will we say today in our heart? What will you say today in your heart? You're saying, oh, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I surrender all. Every time Brother Dan's right, when we sing that, we should just all come up to the front and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not surrendering at all. We should desire that he would break our hearts and that he would cause us to desire, I really want to surrender all.
Do you even really want to surrender all? Do you want to? Do you want to give up all the stuff you got going on in your life?
No.
Do you want to give it up? Would you really rather have Jesus? I'd rather have Jesus.
Silver or gold?
Really? Then why do you keep keeping the stuff? Why do I keep keeping the stuff? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. How are you living today, child of God? How are you living? What's your life about? A lot of young people here, a lot of young married couples. What's your life about? What are you living for? What are your goals and ambitions? You're thinking, oh, we're going to build this house, and we're gonna get this job, and we're gonna raise this kind of family. Where's Jesus in all of that? Where's Jesus in all of that? Oh, I want my children to be this. I want my children to be that. Do you want your children to be saved? Do you want your children to serve the Lord? Do you want your children to, you know, be used of God in some way? What is your desire for your children? It tells you a lot about a parent's heart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This college, that college, this occupation, that occupation, this house, that house. What about Christ?
Amen.
What about Christ in their life? That they live for Christ, no matter what they are, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter how he uses them, that they live for Christ. We're supposed to live for him, right? That died for us. So we need to be saved from death. That's our second great need. But not just to live for us, to live for Christ who died for us. Okay? Last thing. Okay. So we're reconciled to God. We're saved. You know, you say, yes, praise the Lord. That's glory to God. Reconciled to God. He has given me some manner of, he has brought my life into some manner of bowing to him as Lord, of recognizing him as my master, submitting to him and serving him with my life. He's brought me to some manner of that. But then I see my next great need. There is still sin in this flesh. And we get over to Romans chapter 7. And we're following along with Paul. And we say, oh, wretched man that I am. When I would do good, evil is present with me. When I have the best intentions. When I start out, I'm going, Lord, I'm going to serve you today. But evil goes with me. I have the capacity then. I still have the capacity for evil. Oh, wretched man. Do you realize you need to be safe from that too? And you realize that through the death and the resurrection of Christ, all of that has been secured for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to enter into that and experience the resurrection of Christ one day. The resurrected glory of Christ. That you are going to be perfectly made into his likeness. This is what the Bible calls the blessed hope.
Mm-hmm.
The blessed hope and glorious appearance. All throughout the Bible, hope, hope, hope. It is something that we know, we expect, we are confident in. I am confident that through the death of Christ, that his salvation is going to be absolutely completed in me, in not only the redemption of my soul, but the redemption of my body. He has purchased my body. And if you're saved here, that he has purchased your body. And it is going to be, he is going to glorify. He's going to finish that work completely.
Amen.
We're going to get to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to experience the fullness of all of that. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory, right? Oh, this is our blessed hope. Again, are you living for that? Is that, you see, are you walking in such a place where you're conscious of your sins, where you're sensitive of your sin, where you're sensitive of the wretchedness of the flesh? And Lord, come Lord Jesus, because I cannot wait to be delivered from this condition. I can't wait to be in your presence. I can't wait to be able to worship you like I should.
Oh, I can't wait to worship God like he deserves to be worshipped.
Amen.
Oh, there isn't any of us that ever have in this sinful flesh. Not even close. Because evil's present with us. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I thank God. Through Christ Jesus. Right? Blessed hope. You see. Oh. Doesn't that cause us to rejoice? So then the third thing is the resurrection from the dead. Reconciliation to God. Restoration to life. Resurrection from the dead. All these things are in Jesus Christ. All these things have been secured through him. All these things have been wrought by God in Christ for us. And these are the blessed things that we have that we look forward to. He's our greatest need. He's our greatest need. And he has met that need. He has met that need abundantly.
Amen.
Through his perfect life, through his death upon the cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension to the right hand of God. All these things. And all these things, he has made the way, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There was no way to God without Jesus Christ. How could we come to God? But through the death, the resurrection of Christ, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way. You can be reconciled to God. You can have life with God now. You can walk with God now. A new life with God now. And you can look forward to the absolute eradication of sin from your being, from your body. The absolute remaking to a perfect state after the image of Christ. Glorified. So resurrection from the dead. Let's see. Let's turn to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 2. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." But there is going to be a resurrection. It's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Those that are in Jesus Christ, they're going to be resurrected. And they're going to be with him forever. But there is also going to be a resurrection of the wicked dead. They're going to be resurrected at that final judgment, that great right throne judgment. They're going to be resurrected, and all of their guilt is going to be laid out before all heaven and earth, and indisputably proven. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But listen, child of God, you're going to be resurrected after the image of your Savior. You know, it tells us over there in 1 John that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You're going to be made like him. You know, again, can we comprehend the fullness of that? No. But you're going to experience it. You're going to be there. You're going to experience it. You're going to enter into those things. All because of what Christ has done. He has secured this for you. Secured it for you eternally. Oh, I'm just going to go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go read those. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, here's another one for you, child of God. Have you been abounding in the work of the Lord? Or has this world got you beat down and discouraged? Now listen, if you have been abiding in Christ, it also talks about there that we're going to be abundantly fruitful. You can examine your life and say, am I abundantly fruitful? Not just, can I do anything, right? We can't do nothing without Him. But are you abundantly fruitful? And are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Am I abounding? If we are not abiding, we won't be abounding, right? So examine your life and say, am I filled up with the world and just barely keeping my head above water? Or am I abounding? Because I'm abiding. You see? If we're abiding in Christ, there's going to be an abounding. But listen, we know these things. We know the victory that is ours in Christ. We look forward to this blessed hope and glorious appearing. We know we're going to be delivered. We know that everything we're living for is worth it all. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Don't be moved away from Christ. Don't be moved away from serving the Lord. Don't be moved away from the Word of God. Don't be moved away from a life of godliness. Don't be moved away from those things. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Oh, sometimes abounding. See, always. Always abounding. And listen, I've been preaching today to you. But I tell you what, I've been preaching to me. And the Lord preached to me first. And He said, what are you doing over here? What are you doing over here? What are you thinking? And He said that to me first. And I'm saying that to you today. Because we get off in places that we got no business being. What are you doing over there, Christian? Jesus Christ died for you. Are you living for Him? When's the last time that you really were living for Christ? When's the last time you were abiding in Christ? When's the last time you were flourishing and abounding as a Christian? Preachers, sometimes we soothe ourselves with, well, I preach every Sunday and I preach every Wednesday, but are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? We can be just as worldly as everybody else. And probably that's half the problem. Because we're as worldly as everybody else. We're not preaching to the people. And say, and we're not supposed to say, go do this because it's right. We're supposed to say, come on with me. Come on with me. This is where God says we need to go. Come on with me. Let's go. Oh, and if we're as preachers, if we're not doing that, we're setting a real bad example. We've got to repent of our worldliness. We've got to repent of our worldliness before we can call anybody else to. How are we really going to call anybody else to repent if we won't repent? We've got to turn away from the world. We've got to turn away from our sin. We've got to abide in Christ. We've got to return to those things. Listen, the world's getting worse and worse. We don't have to. We don't. Is there falling away? Sure. Do we have to? No. Do you have to as an individual? No, you don't. You don't. I don't have to fall away. Matthew there. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are you letting the abounding iniquity cause your heart to grow cold? You don't have to do that. But you gotta get pretty disgusted with yourself. You got to get pretty disgusted with yourself and your condition. And you to turn away from that because you're addicted. I'm addicted. Right? It's not just amusement. It's addiction. This world has a way of addicting you. All this stuff we got going on is addicting. We got to realize that. And I don't care what it is. You know, little kids got little kid toys. Big kids got big kid toys. We got things that distract us on where we're at. We got things that steal our heart away from God. We've got to repent of that. We've got to turn away from that. We've got to desire Jesus. Really want Him more than anything. What are you willing to give up for Jesus? What are you willing to put out of your life for Jesus? We've got to examine ourselves and say, let's put it this way, what won't you give up for Jesus? Well, whatever that is why you don't have Him. If you won't get rid of it, I mean, you're making a choice. You're singing, I'd rather have Jesus in church, but in your life,
But in your life, you're saying, I'd rather have this. I'd rather have that.
That's right.
So that's the reality of our lives. What's the problem? We need Jesus. Mm-hmm. We need Jesus. And we need to know we need him and desire him. We need to be able to agree with the psalmist where he says, my heart, I'm like the heart that panteth after the water brooks. You know, I'm like a deer that's in a desert. Mm-hmm. And I'm dying of thirst. And if you don't give me what I need, I'm going to die. If you don't feel like that, you're just going to keep going back to the world. You're not going to want the living water. You're going to want this world. And you're going to come back to the world. And you're going to say, give me a little more of the world. I'll live on the world for a while. Oh, we've been living on the world too long. We've been living on the world too long. Christ is life. Christ is life. He's abundance of life. He's everything that we need. There's nothing lacking in Christ. There's nothing lacking in him. There's nothing that this world can give you that Christ can't so abundantly supply more and above. So much more, so much better. But do we desire him? Do we see that? Do we understand that he really is our greatest need? Do we comprehend it? Do we get a hold of it? He is our greatest need. I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to read any more notes. I'm not going to read any more notes. We need to get down to business with God. We need to get sick and tired of a life without Jesus. We need to get sick and tired of all the worldly entertainments and distractions. You say, I got all this going on. I'm just so unhappy. I'm so miserable. Oh, we need Jesus. We need to turn away from all that. I need to turn away from all that. I'll just give you a little testimony. Things that God's been working in my life lately. I have interests. Brother Dan says I have interests. I have interests. I like to hunt. Well, so if you're interested in something, what do? You go on the internet. Right? And you start looking at all your interests. You know those... The thing about let's use smartphones, for example, they know what you like. There's these little things. They put some kind of things on there, cookies. And they sort of like track you around and, hey, this is what they like. Well, let's give them some more of what they like. You know, and it's just, and you could call it a snowball. But it isn't a snowball. It's more like a mudslide. Mm-hmm. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And you're just in this, and you're spending all your time there. Okay, so I'm looking at all my videos, and I'm looking at my hunting videos, and I like watching that stuff. I'm interested in this, that, and that, all just there, whatever aspect it was, and all the time I've been for a long time, you know, as a pastor, kind of under a burden, under weight of things, and like, poor me, you know, I need to relax, I need some entertainment, I need something. So stupid. It's Jesus that I need, but. So I'm looking at this, and you know what? Somewhere way back along the way, there was a preacher I listened to one time, and he popped up because my phone remembered. Better memory than me. But even more than that, I know that God did that. So I'm looking at my videos, and he puts in the midst of all those videos a preaching video. And I thought, nah, not right now. I'm busy doing what I'm doing. And I went to bed that way that night, and I woke up in the morning and thought, oh, that was stupid. I just refused what God had provided for me. I just refused that. In the morning I got up and I listened to that preaching message, and the Lord just went bam. And he just, and ever and since that day it's been nonstop. He reminded me to abide in him. He reminded me to turn away from this world and turn back to Christ. And I've been just, I want to stay there. I want to stay there. I don't want to go back. I mean, I'm not boasting, but I'm just communicating that I have not been watching videos since. I have not been watching. You know, a long time ago we turned off the TV, coming in. But, you know, somehow that crept back in. There's weeds come back in. The TV's back in the house, you know. And, you know, and even if you don't have it coming in, you can put a video in, right? And then you can put your TV guardian and take all the swearing out, right? But you can't get rid of them. The world's message. You can't get rid of the communication. And so you are subjecting yourself to it no matter if you take out the cuss words, no matter if you take out the real bad stuff. You are being poisoned constantly by the communication of the world. And worse, you're neglecting time with Christ. You have to languish. You have to. You're not abiding in Christ. And you say, well, I'm so busy. I don't have time for Christ. You've got so much time that you waste in that stuff. I've been wasting time. We don't have time to waste. It tells us in Ephesians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not giving up and just putting it in neutral and getting along in the mudslide because the times are evil. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? The opposite of what it says. The times are evil, so, oh, it's too hard. Poor me. I'm just going to resign to that. No. Redeeming the time. You can redeem it in your own walk with God. You can redeem it in your own abiding with God. You can redeem it. And you know what that's going to happen? Is you're going to redeem it in all your other relationships. Because you're going to be, it's all going to be about Christ. It's going to be about your relationship with Christ first. And it cannot help then to go out from your life to the lives around you.
Right.
It can't help. So it's so important that you abide in Christ. You will be fruitful as you abide in Christ. But try to sum it all up and stop. Sin is the big problem. Sin is our big problem. Separates us from God. Brings us to death. We need Jesus Christ to save us from sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I pray that if you're lost today, that he'd save you from your sins. Amen. I pray that if you're saved today and you're unrepentant in worldliness, that he'd save you from that condition. That he would rescue you from that condition of sin. Did you know that that's a condition of sin? Turn away from it. I pray that if you're a professing Christian and you're lost and you're hiding under a cloak of self-righteousness, under a Baptist banner, that he'll show you that that's filthy rags. And that he'll show you your only hope is in his perfect righteousness. Only in his death for you. Only in his life for you. Only in his resurrection for you. Only in the person of Christ can you say, but Jesus Christ is our great need of salvation. Brother.
Let's stand.